Hey guys, Tim here. Wanted to jump in and give you an opportunity. You can support our show. I don't know if you know this, but the number one way podcasts spread and grow is through referrals. It's through people telling their friends, hey, I found this podcast and I love it and I think you'll love it too. And so if you've been listening to this show for a while and you love it, share it with your friends. Tell everybody you know about it. I'm sure a lot of you are already doing that, but maybe you're not. Send a link. Send us something out to one of your friends. All the apps make that super easy. Just share it. And if this is your first time listening to this show, do that too. Just give it a shot. Send it to some people. Act like you love it and then listen to it. And then maybe you'll regret it. Maybe you won't. Who knows? Maybe it pays off for you. But yeah, just go ahead real quick before this episode starts. Hit share. Tell your friends about it. And then that will go a long way to help this show grow and continue to be here for the next 70 years. We're not going to live that long. Danny Casolaro was murdered by the government, and this episode's all about how.
Yeah, that might be true. I didn't know you were starting. Caught me off guard, his assailants caught him off guard.
Yeah.
It's a wild conspiracy episode, so yeah. Pretty fun.
If you like conspiracy episodes, you'll like this one.
You'll enjoy it. And also, if you like comedy podcasts, you'll like this, because that's what this is.
This episode is mostly laughter and dishonoring the dead.
Sorry about that. I guess.
Hey, you got any shows coming up?
Yeah, speaking of dishonoring the dead, I'm doing a funeral. How wild would that be?
Hey guys.
Now, I am I get spring break off. And so the next show's coming up. April 5th. This is actually fun in San Angelo, Texas, which is like the bad part of Texas. the part that sucks. And if you live out there, you know what I'm talking about. San Angelo, Texas, there's a family out there that is raising money to adopt a child. And so they're putting on a comedy show as a fundraiser. So I get to be part of that on April 5th. And then on April 7th, I am doing three Sunday services for a church in Bloomington, Indiana.
Whoa.
So please come hang out. We'd love to see that. And then also, on April 13th, I am in, Coors Light, Idaho. Coeur d'Alene. however you pronounce that place.
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, on April 13th. So any of those shows, I'd love to see you at. Please don't kill me.
Hey, welcome back to Kansas City. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
That was your flight.
Dude, no, I was actually annoyed. The guy at the rental car thing, like I was just like, all right, yeah, I've got a reservation. Here we go.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you in town for business? And I was like, uh-huh. Like, is you gonna get some barbecue? I was like, just give me the Ford Escape. Just let me get out of here.
Yeah. Ask you all the small talk. Tell him about your Uber.
Oh yeah, my Uber this morning. Now listen, I was disrespecting him at first because he missed three turns. Mm-hmm. And so my arrival time went from I live 56 minutes from LAX.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're looking at a map, it's toward the ocean. That's 56 minutes out in the ocean. So anyway, so he picks me up. Yeah. He misses three exits on his, because I can see his GPS.
Yeah.
And so 15 minutes on the ride, our arrival time now says 56 minutes from now. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, so I text you about it. I was like, this guy's missed three turns. I was like, what the heck? Yeah. And then, I'm not joking, 5 minutes after that, the arrival time said 25 minutes.
That's incredible.
And I was like, hold on.
That's incredible.
I was like, this guy, I wasn't familiar with his game.
That's pretty impressive. You can't tell anyone that route now. You have to hold that.
Yeah, he told me the route.
Yeah, well, yeah, you experienced it. He couldn't tell you.
No one else can know about this portal. We went this like weird. It was a car wash. We drove through, and then on the other side, there was like. I fell asleep for a bit. It was a short ride.
It was a long time. Yeah.
Anyway,
I had to shave again at the end.
Yeah. I woke up shirtless. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
That Toyota Sienna, but we made it to LAX this morning.
Yeah. What was wild is we made it, and next thing I knew, we were in the cargo hold of the airplane in his car.
It's like, I told you I knew the way.
Are we supposed to be here right now?
Yeah, that's the wrong question.
Yeah, that's not a question you want the answer to.
I got the middle seat. I overplayed my hand this time. because I had booked an aisle seat in an exit row, which is a main cabin seat with the pores. And I usually fly, you know,
without the pores.
I usually fly, you know, in front of the pores. And so I was like, I'll get upgraded. Yeah. I did get upgraded to Delta Comfort Plus.
Yeah.
But the only seat they upgraded me to was a middle seat. Mm. So I overplayed my hand.
Yeah.
Because I was
like,
surely I'll get upgraded.
Surely. Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
But not enough.
Not enough.
Yeah.
Not
Yeah. And then the guy in the window understood how it works. I get that armrest. This guy was like, I get both armrests. I said, no, you have the aisle.
Yeah.
I get
yeah.
both armrests.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like really mad about that. We fought.
Dad, did you? Who won?
Well, the flight attendant, I think. When you really depends on which phase of the sky flight.
Turns out he was an air marshal.
Turns out the guy next to me, he won when he pulled out his gun. Yeah. I was like, whoa, dude. Whoa,
you're not supposed to have that.
Can like we do an episode? Why are you doing to me what the Enterprise agent did? Yeah. Why are you like, how was your flight? Tell us about your Uber. Can we just freaking
all right, have you ever
do
heard
an episode?
Have you ever heard of Danny Casolaro?
Danny Casolaro?
Yeah.
I don't know. He sounds like he owns like a freaking... like car shop, you know?
Yeah, well, he's dead, so so I hope you feel
sounds
bad.
Like he owned a car shop.
Like, I'll find
you gotta find his private diary. Today I skimmed this much money off the top of this casino.
Today I stole a bunch of money.
You're telling me if there was a serial killer who killed 31 people and we put Baskin Robbins' name on it, that's not good for their brand?
All publicity.
All 31
good publicity.
Flavors.
Oh no.
Things I learned last night.
Now, Danny Casolaro, this is going to be a big story. I'll tell you, we can take a look at him first. Here's Danny. Danny looks like Steve Irwin's brother.
He looks like my brother-in-law.
Here's another shot of him. Here's another shot of your brother-in-law.
He looks like my father-in-law, straight up, actually. Oh. Like if you just
I met him once, but I can see it.
Add a couple years to him.
Here's another picture of him, and then here's that same picture of him with his son not cut out of the picture.
Wait. Is the last one his son's cut out? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, this is the news. The news was like, oh, we can't have his son in there, so we got to cut him out of that.
No, they didn't. That's not the same picture.
That's the same picture.
Are you joking?
It's similar enough to be called the same.
Okay. That's because it's the same person. So you're saying these two pictures of the same person are the same picture because they're similar enough? You understand how that works? That's like you saying like this episode's the same as everyone because our voices are the same.
All right, so Danny Casolaro.
Speaking of,
yeah, this is insane.
We got some YouTube comments from multiple people now because we've told you how the prisoners listen to us. not on the podcast, because when we go to the prison walls and we shout and we give them instructions and we say, here's what's going on. Anyway, no, the prisoners listen to us because they got nothing else to do. And apparently, a lot of them don't know which one, like, because when you download our episodes,
yeah, you
can see both
faces.
Of us in the thumbnail.
Yeah.
But apparently they didn't know.
Which is which?
That Tim's the fat one. You know what I'm saying?
It is insane to me. And we've known each other for 10 years. We've known ourselves for longer.
I've known myself for quite a bit.
For 30. But we it's crazy to me that you could see those pictures and hear our voices and mix them up.
And then go, yeah, that's what the small squeaky looking one probably sounds like a grown man. And then that clear mammoth of a man, just broad shouldered, strong jaw man.
Strong jaw. That guy
He probably sounds like Mickey Mouse got his tonsils taken out. You hear it?
Oh boy.
No, that's him with tonsils.
Oh boy.
No, just say oh boy like you're
oh
in your
boy.
There you Such a simple bit. Golly.
All right, Danny, we got to get into this.
Okay.
Danny Casolaro
okay.
was a journalist. Kind of. Journalist is a strong term for him.
Sure.
He was a writer. He was a poet and like a novelist. That's what he wanted to do.
Sure.
But he wasn't making it doing that. So he got a deal like as a tech journalist writing in technology. and he stumbled upon something once that led him down a rabbit hole that changed his life forever.
Okay. Did it end his life?
Allegedly.
Sorry to,
I
don't know. Let's get there.
Allegedly. Here, we can, we'll fast forward to the end of the story real quick and then go backwards. I think that's a better way to do this.
You want to wear one of those hats? Or all three of them? No. Put the logo. All right.
So you want one?
They're not going to fit my head.
I think they will, actually. These are pretty big hats.
Okay.
Like, this is huge on my head.
It is pretty big.
Odd job hats.
Okay, so what happened?
okay, so Danny... Does it fit?
No!
Danny, he... On August 10th.
We do corporate podcasts. If you are a company and you want us to make content for you.
What is happening? This episode's... Okay, now do your pitch.
I'm saying... this is from one of the podcasts we produce. I was trying to set it up so we could do like a, hey, our media company will...
Okay. Set it up again.
Our media.
Hey, cool hat. What's that hat for? I'm trying to bring it up naturally. Cool hat.
So thanks for bringing it up. We do corporate podcasts for companies, for people who want to make content.
Professional podcasts.
And people who are like, man, I know that content's important, but I don't know what to do about it. You know?
Yeah, what should I do?
And so if you are a company or you know a company or you would like us to make content for you, you can reach out.
Yeah, we can produce.
They made the hats, though. This wasn't our idea.
I love the hats.
I actually told him not to.
I actually really like
them. I said, don't make the hats.
You never said that. And I threatened him.
I said, if you make the hats, okay, anyway.
So Danny, on August 10th, 1991, Danny was found dead in a hotel bathtub.
That's...
It's a rough transition. There was a no good way.
So tragic.
There was no good way to do that transition. No, Danny.
Power of the Network. A corporate podcast brought to you by Danny was found dead in a bathroom, in a hotel bathroom on August 10th,
1991. Yeah. So. Okay. So. Content warning. Danny it was in the Sheraton Hotel in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Okay. He was found dead in the hotel bathroom by one of the cleaners. Bathtub full, bloody bathtub water, with a bag like looking like it was out in his head at one point, and 10 to 12 gashes in his wrists.
Oh.
and blood all over the walls, right. Splattered all over the walls. There's a bloody towel.
Like an attempt is to make it look like a suicide?
I don't know if I would say...
Or if it's like, no, we murdered this guy.
Well, here, I'll continue setting the scene.
You keep laughing at really bad stuff.
What?
We murdered this guy. so quit doing that.
Sorry, I just... So Danny... So in that room, uh-huh. There was a bunch of bloody towels underneath the sink. And then in the like hotel room, there was a note, and the note was interesting. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. This is the one thing that I forgot to pull up before we started.
Sure. The note said, be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Because that's how their marketing is going right now is they're like, what gets news coverage? Murders. What if we started murdering Now hold on though. If I'm making content for your company, you want branding help, you want marketing help, you want some buzz around your company, murder someone, dude. No. Leave a note behind that said this person got murdered by Cheetos Flamin' Hot. All right. Frito-Lay to rest. Frito-Lay to rest. All right, like freaking just start killing me.
Wow. Okay.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can kill.
That's the craziest thing you've ever said out loud.
Pretty good idea. Pretty good idea.
So the note said,
that's up there with lobster hands. I'll tell you that.
The note said, oh boy.
Oh, we're in for a long one today, folks. Buckle up. For real, you're probably driving right now. Buckle
it up. Or else we're going to turn your wreck into an ad. So the note read, to my loved ones, please forgive me, most especially my son. And
yeah, they were trying to make it look like a suicide.
And be understanding, God will let me in. So
okay.
And then some of his personal effects were left in that room. And it was ruled this was a suicide. His family was notified and all that.
It was ruled that by the coroner?
By the police.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coroner, I'm not gonna say. Police, I'll say yeah.
Sorry, I accidentally ruin stories all the time.
so yes, the police show up. They rule it a suicide.
I keep doing to you what my wife does when I tell good stories. I'll be launched into a good one.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh. So one time this girl in our small group was like, I've got this mace because I don't feel safe on campus. And I like look across the room. She goes, he maced his best friend. I was getting there.
I was going to get to that part of the story. Yeah.
They got married after. Reagan, stop it. Let me tell a story.
So they rule it a suicide. Mm-hmm. 2 days later, they contact the family. And the family says, it's weird. You're just now contacting us. It's been 2 days. And they said, okay.
They're like, we've been trying to reach you. The cyber attacks.
There was a solar
cell towers
flare.
Are down.
You know what? Actually, we were talking about this today.
Actually, we've got a lot to get to.
No, we were talking about this today. Can we start a hacking group and name it Solar Flare? And say,
first of all, that's super cool.
Yeah, it is.
Solar Flare Media.
Shoot, that's kind of cool.
SFM.
That's kind of cool, actually. And then we take down the grid and we take responsibility and we say it was the solar flare.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, it's just a solar flare. And then we just, under the radar, baby.
Under the radar is our one of the umbrella groups.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where we do things under the radar.
This is us in jail. We're not in jail. We're being investigated.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Can you tell me what this LLC, it's under the radar, comma, LLC.
That's where we do all of our under the radar activities.
Mm, like what?
Anything that needs to be under the radar.
Well, we're here right now. It feels like you might know.
It seems.
Also, it I can tell like we for sure that Tim filled out this paperwork because it says LLC on it. He refuses to just not put that on stuff. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, this is an S-Corp. In my mind, but he named it under the radar LLC.
Should be under the radar.
As it's a
he doesn't
corp.
Have to put the LLC on there.
You think LLC Corp has been taken? Can we be LLC?
Can you tell
corp?
A story, please?
Danny's family says, okay, well, what did the autopsy say? And they're like, oh, we didn't do one. And then they're like, oh, can we do one of those?
No.
And they're like, oh, yeah, here's the thing, though. The body's been embalmed. And they're like, that's strange, because in the state of West Virginia, the family has to approve any embalmings before they can happen. And they're like, yeah, but there's been a lot of lawsuits lately.
You embalmed them? We were going to get him taxidermied.
What?
Don't you want that to happen when you die?
Is that even possible? Is that legal?
I mean, under the radar, right?
Taxidermy my uncle.
Wait, what? Is it available?
Yeah, my email is paulrudtheactor@taxidermymyuncle.com.
Are you buying that for real?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, you got it. Put it in our bio. That's our new link in bio.
Taxidermy.
Hey, if you want to join us on Patreon, you can go to taxidermymyuncle.com. All right, you guys want to start over? This episode is wild. This episode is wild.
Okay, so Danny's family.
They're like, hold on. I didn't think that was legal to do.
Yeah, they're like, and so. Hey, thanks for checking out our show. If you like it and you want to support, be a part of what we're doing here, you can do that by becoming a patron. What happens there is you get to be in the community. We have a Discord with our hosted producers. We have a lot of fun. We're super active in there every day. You get access to ad-free content a week before everybody else. And we have a Zoom every month with our patrons. We hang out, we eat pizza, we get to know you a little bit better. It's a blast. And there's a ton of other different benefits like merch discounts, birthday messages, things like that that are super cool. If you want to be in that, you can just text Tillin to 66866 and that'll get you right in there. If not, we're just super glad that you're here and thanks for watching our show. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. They start kind of pursuing this and they say, okay, well, let's do an autopsy, even though like you've already done the embalming. Like let's see what conclusions we can make there. The autopsy goes through, ends up that they conclude the same thing. But a lot of the paramedics that were on scene are voicing some concerns.
They're like, hey, that's not what happened.
Yeah, one of the things that they said that was very interesting is one, there was no, there's a term for this that I don't remember. Basically,
this is what I've learned from documentaries is you tell the police nothing, but you tell the paramedics everything.
Yeah, that's very true.
That's what's been said.
What the paramedics said is, and there's a term for this, I don't know what the term is, but like basically hesitation marks. And so they said, like, if it's a suicide, usually there's evidence that they like went for it and they like kind of couldn't do it right away. Like, this is too clean. Like, there's not a sign of they were struggling to, to mentally do this.
Sure.
They also said, and this is going to be tough for you, they were too deep. There was 11 to 16. What was it? 10 to 12.
Jaren, I know you're listening right now while you're driving. This is future Jaren.
This is for you.
Just really hang on, buddy.
Hold on, buddy. They went down and he actually cut tendons.
Why are you doing this?
Deep to the bone.
Yeah.
Far enough to where one of his hands at one point he would not have been able to grip because he cut the tendon that would have gripped.
Yeah.
And so they said it would have been literally impossible for him to go to the other hand and start doing the other arm.
Oh, interesting. That's why this is relevant. Okay.
So either that was the last cut, which like it doesn't seem like it. Yeah. Or that was another interesting thing is the tips of his fingers were cut off.
You can't do that yourself.
Which is very odd.
Yeah.
And what the police say is that
hard enough to cut your own fingernails, dude. Like you ever cut your like your left hand, you know what I'm saying? Like it's really difficult to do.
The what the police said is that he used a razor blade, and because he was using a razor blade, that grip is what made him cut him off. But again, this is
not Yeah.
This is kind of an insane, like, yeah. So it's, anyways, this is graphic, but it was a very graphic scene.
Sure.
And the police are sticking to their story that it was suicide, but there's some people right off the bat that are throwing some red flags. The cleaners and the maintenance guy who were the first to find the body said that there was the, and this is, I've heard multiple people say that this is an expert opinion, which seems a little jacked up to call it that, but they said it looked like that towel was thrown on the floor and they used their foot to wipe up the blood.
The cleaner?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can tell from the swirl
that was
with the foot.
That was a foot wipe.
That's how I always get the new guy. Hey, get down there and scrub like you mean it. All right, this is the Sheridan, not a Super 8.
And then they also talked about the splatters on the walls.
Yeah.
How those cuts, like, it doesn't make sense that there'd be splatters on the walls with those cuts. And the bag is a weird touch. Like, why would you cover your head in a bag?
And then go for it,
So there's a lot of mysteries. Also, the police just drained the bathtub when they got there, which seems like that was probably evidence there. They should have at least took a sample of that. They literally washed the evidence down the drain, if there was any. So,
okay,
there's a lot of red flags in this whole
specific
point in the story.
We're not a true crime podcast. I'm interested why we're doing all of this so far.
Yeah, you'll get it.
Okay.
And so the and I guess the last important thing, there was an empty bottle of wine and a single beer in the room too, and some pills.
Okay. Whole bottle of wine?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was empty. Here's the thing though. This trip was a significant trip because of the reason why he was in
West Virginia.
Martinsburg, West Virginia. And so we need to take it back a couple years in the story to look through Danny and how he got here.
Sure.
So Danny was a poet and a writer, as I said, but he did technology news columns to like pay the bills.
Okay.
And this is throughout the 80s. And so he got a job from one of the columns that he wrote for to investigate this lawsuit that was open for a company called INSLA against the Department of Justice.
Okay.
INSLA was founded by, here, let me pull up a picture of him. Sorry, I gotta pop over. INSLA was like a ma and pa operation that was a husband and wife that secured.
Usually ma and pa are.
They secured a deal with the Department of Justice. This is his wife, or Bill Hamilton, and his wife, whose name is not on.
Hamilton looks like he should be portrayed in a movie by the, you watch Only Murders in the Building?
Yeah.
The guy who has the cats?
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
So Bill and his
wife.
Or
me, if you're open to casting. If any casting directors are watching this, I'm just so thirsty for work. I also produce a podcast for you.
Also, yeah, because content's important.
Content is king.
Yeah. I can't find Bill Hamilton's wife name.
Okay.
Anywhere. But Bill and his wife started this company, INSLA. And what INSLA did is they created technology products for lawyers. And they developed the software called Promise that they got a deal with the Department of Justice for. And what Promise was it was a database for prosecutors. The Department of Justice thought, this is really cool. And this is the late 70s.
What kind of database?
It's the sort of thing that can track all your data.
It's like an Excel spreadsheet.
This was at the time where everything was paper. It was like computers were just popping onto the scene. So it was taking all your file. If you had ever done anything wrong, it would take your file and it would make it in this global database that all the prosecutors across the nation could access and see. Here's everything you've ever done.
Where before
it was like, oh, you got to call and access the library to get the file. It was disconnected.
File currently?
I don't know. Have you ever broke the law? You have a file now.
I have a Fifth Amendment right to not answer that question.
I have a Second Amendment right not to answer
that question. To not answer that question. This gag is from an episode that didn't get released. We've done it a lot.
I forgot. Wow.
Didn't come out. It's to our Patreon supporters. They have it.
Yeah. Maybe we should release that in our newsletter. Like if you sign up to the newsletter, they can get it.
Oh, maybe that's a good call.
That's a good idea.
It's can we just say what it's about? I think we have before.
I don't know if we have. I think it's almost better if we don't. I think I like the intrigue of it, where you get it and then you hear it and you're like, oh, that's why.
Did we put an intro in there explaining why it never came out? I don't know if we ever did that.
No, because we never released it.
That's fine.
Anyways, so this software, before this software, you only had a file if you did something wrong.
Okay.
After this software, everybody could have a file no matter what, because it was just more opportunity to have like a global database. So right. You probably have a file now, even if you didn't do anything wrong. But this connected it all. The government loved this idea.
Yeah.
So much that allegedly they took this software. So they took this deal with them, and this turned them into like a real company. So like they went from Ma and Pa to Ma and Pa and this guy in the background. Mm-hmm. And then to Pa just in Pa. Color. Pa in color with
Pa in color. Okay.
With a logo in a cool light. So like it made them a real company. And they actually like they were able to hire up a whole team and develop the software and manage the software for the and do installations around the country. And it was a big government contract that made them millionaires. It was kind of like they struck gold, you know? And it was a very exciting time for them. They achieved the American dream. Well, a few years into running this, INSLA gets a letter from the Department of Justice in Canada. And Department of Justice in Canada says, hey, we've been installing your software. We ran into this issue. Can you help us sort this out?
And they're like, wait, why are you installing our software?
Yeah. And they were like,
from us.
Yeah. They were like, when did this happen?
Yeah.
And
oh, I see how this went. Yeah.
And so they started tugging on some threads. And long story short, allegedly what happened.
Danny gave it to him.
Was.
And they're like, we got to kill him.
Well, allegedly what happens was the Department of Justice took this software and distributed it to their allies.
Oh.
Without the license. But, so breaching their contract with INSLA.
Right.
So that way their allies could have it. And INSLA said, hey, they got to pay us for that. And the Department of Justice was like, no, we didn't do that.
No. Oh, they were like, we didn't give it to them?
Yeah, like, no, that didn't happen. And they're like, how did they get it? And they're like, we don't know. So they took them to court. They sued them.
Pirate Bay. I guess they were on LimeWire.
It had to be LimeWire. I know the Canadians, they don't care about malware. So they probably were just like, what's a virus? Yeah. Who cares?
Malware? What is that? A duck?
What is that? So they took him to court. They took him to court. And this was this guy in the background that I said was their employee. This was actually their attorney. Oh. And this is significant because he was the attorney general at one point. This is Elliot Richardson. Yeah. And Elliot Richardson's a very significant person because Elliot Richardson was the guy who, during the whole Watergate affair, told Nixon no and stepped down.
He was like, no, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to be a part of this. And he stepped down from his post. So he's got some beef with the United States government.
Yeah.
And so he came and he fought the DOJ.
He's like, I also hate the United States government.
He's like,
there's different kinds of people who hate the government, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's like we hate the government people, and they're like building camps out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
And then there's like lawyers who are like, yeah, I mean, we hate the government. Let's take them.
So he knows who to call. And so he makes some calls.
You really want your CPA. You want your accountant to be like a
person. Yeah, that's true. That's
like, I want you to be super like, don't let me pay taxes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want, if I pay too much taxes, I want you to go, if you pay this, I'm going to step down. Looking at this number, if you
this
pay
number
that bill,
is insane.
I'm going to get out
of here. I'm going to leave. So he knew, Elliot knew the people to call. I'm calling his first name. Elliot knew who to call. And so he could get all the data he needed on the U.S. government.
Good old L.
And so they go to court. Yeah. And in this legal battle, he is able to produce documents proving that the United States hired a software engineer to install a backdoor in Promise and then hired a third-party company who was INSLA's largest competitor, significantly larger than them, and was owned by a guy who was within... not yet, but would eventually be within the presidential cabinet. Who was the owner of this company, and then
dude,
they
there's so
sold
much
it.
Like just blatantly. Did you see the Gavin Newsom thing that happened with Panera?
No,
like in California, a $20 minimum wage is coming through.
Oh yeah,
but it doesn't apply to bakeries and cafes. because one of Gavin Newsom's biggest donors owns 24 Panera locations. Not even like owns Panera.
just owns
a couple locations. And is like, I don't want to do it.
So they wrote that
it's
out
stuff like
law.
That where that's you just insane. Go, this is so that should obvious. Be illegal.
It's,
I
mean,
I think it is. But like,
that's so insane.
It's just stuff that you go, what do you like?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, they're just like, oh, we're doing it.
So yeah, similar thing. So this company gets promised software.
Like, hey, we like this software. I don't want to pay them too much for it. I mean, to be fair though, this is what we all did with Photoshop when we were on staff at a church.
Not exactly. Not exactly.
Like, this the church bought a license. I also have a license.
Yeah, I still have my church's Photoshop license.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. But
yeah, no, they got rid of it. Yeah. Well, then they get rid of it. They were like, you have to pay us $1,000 a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
so they, what they did was they got this third party guy, which we're going to introduce him in a minute, to install a backdoor on the Promise software.
Sure.
They took the Promise software and they gave it to this third party company and they said, hey, it'd be really cool if you sold this to like Israel and Canada. And
oh, so that they didn't do it.
And 80 other countries. And so this company sells it to 80 other countries.
Okay.
And it's all linking back to the United States. So now the United States has data on everybody in 80 other countries.
Okay. I see what they did. I see what they did.
And
honestly,
they're allies,
smart
and
play.
Allies and enemies. These are people both within and outside the United States, like net, that this company was selling this stuff to.
Okay.
And so, meanwhile, the guy who developed the Promise software is like, our software is in 80 countries, and we're only managing the license for one of them.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and so they take him to court, and they win, like landslide victory.
Good.
$6 million settlement.
It's not big enough.
Well, at the time it was 6 million. Today it'd be 16 million. Still don't think it's
not
big enough. But still
16
million.
Because the government's just like, okay.
Well, so they lose, they win this. Inslaw wins this case. The Department of Justice loses this case.
Right.
$6 million settlement gets handed down. A couple months later, the judge over that case fired. The prosecuting attorney or the defense attorney for the Department of Justice is replaces the judge who was fired and is now the judge. And they, the Department of Justice, applies for an appeal and they go back and they appeal and they lose the case.
What? How? Can that work?
I mean, it's the Department of Justice. They decide what's justice. Like, you can't win against the Department of Justice. Are you
the house
me?
Always wins.
So they literally took their attorney and they said, okay, you're gonna be the judge now.
That's so.
And so they.
What
did the
year
appeal.
Is this again?
This 81 is when it all like came through.
That's bonkers.
And so Inslaw goes bankrupt.
Yeah.
And they never see a penny from.
They
this.
Had to pay. Did they pay the $6 million back?
No, they never got paid. Like, it was before the payment ever went
so
through.
Stupid.
That's when that.
That's what I'm saying. That's the stuff that would, like, oh, that makes me so angry.
It's infuriating.
That's like Pepsi Jet.
Yeah. Well, worse.
Well, I don't know.
It's worse. It's worse.
But, like, that stuff makes me so irrationally angry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was kind of like, this really was the like foundation to the NSA is what this whole scandal was.
Okay. Sure.
Is them realizing, oh, we can like spy on everybody, like everybody.
Yeah. What are they going to do about it?
Yeah. And they're like, what are they going to do? Sue us? Well, the Department of Justice. Yeah. We're going to win that case. Even if we lose that case.
It's our second amendment right.
That's a really funny bit to just anything. Okay. So
you know how fast you're going back there? I don't care. I was exercising my second amendment right.
Yeah, I don't think you know what that means. I don't think you know.
You know what that means. They pull their gun on you. They're like, what did you say? I guess I don't know what it means.
I guess you're right. I guess I didn't know. Can I have my lawyer? Can I have my mom? You have the right to your lawyer or your mother.
All right.
If not, the state will provide one for you. Okay, so Inslaw goes bankrupt.
The lawyer was his mom. That was the joke the whole time.
Yeah. So Inslaw goes bankrupt. Okay. And Danny gets the case to write a tech column about it.
Okay.
And it was supposed to be a, look at this news. Isn't this crazy? He starts digging into it. He calls Bill and he's like, hey, can you tell me something about it? And Bill's like, oh, I can tell you a lot about it.
Yeah.
And so Bill and him start talking a lot. And Bill introduces him to a lot of the people that he's gotten to know as a part of like the discovery for this case. And Bill starts to tell him that he's got it on good intelligence from within the CIA, that there are that this is bigger than INSLAW, that this is bigger than the Promise software, that there's something much, much larger going on here.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think there's a guy by the name of Michael Reconosciuto that you should talk to, and Michael will open some doors for you and shed some light onto what's going on. This is Michael Reconosciuto.
Like a cheese. Oh, he looks like one too.
And this is him crying, I think.
Okay.
And this is him. This is him old.
So he's a prisoner.
Yeah. So Michael is.
It's a little monk haircut.
Yeah, that's a good haircut.
You should do it.
Okay. That's pretty funny. Cool. So Michael,
are you gonna do the hair implant thing?
I don't know. Should I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's kind of funny, isn't it?
It'd be pretty funny if you did.
Pretty funny to do that, right? It'd be like really funny to have like a full head of hair and not be balding really anymore. Like that's so funny.
A really good bit if you had a full head of hair.
So Michael Reconosciuto.
If you had luscious locks, that would make me LOL. That's
so funny. I can't help but laugh at your hair. It's so full.
Oh man. Okay.
You got so much volume, man.
All right. I don't know where you're going right now.
Okay, so Michael Reconosciuto.
Reconosciuto, which does sound like a cheese.
It does. Michael Reconosciuto. Where do we begin with Michael Reconosciuto? Michael Reconosciuto is allegedly the guy who put the backdoor in to Promise.
Okay.
And so he was an electronics and like computer expert. And he allegedly worked with the United States government on a handful of projects before in the INSLAW affair. And he begins to kind of talk Danny through this story that it's like INSLAW is just one small piece of what's going
part
on here. Yeah. That there is...
So he's like, he's just exposing what's happened.
Yes. Okay. It's weird because he doesn't expose at all. Like it's kind of like he like gives a lot of hints.
Sure.
You know, he's like here's an interesting thing and here's another interesting and here's another person you should talk to. And so he starts giving Danny all these people you should talk to and all these interesting things. What's crazy is the story he's telling are absolutely insane ideas.
Sounding.
Yeah, for example, he claims that the Iran-Contra scandal, which are you familiar?
Yeah, where we gave them a bunch of weapons and then we eventually had to fight a war with them to stop them from using those.
He claims that the hostages in Iran were going to be released, but Reagan knew he was going to lose the election if they got released before the election.
Yep.
And he had connections with Iran and was able to be like, hey, hold on to them until the election.
That's a big old yikes.
3 hours after the vote came through and passed that Reagan won the election, the hostages were released.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. And so so it does very much seem...
Maybe I am like, one now.
So it does very much seem like that might be
stresses
true.
Stress me out.
And this group, the guy that I was talking about, that owned that company that was selling this, was in Reagan's presidential cabinet and was like a close confidant of Reagan for many years. And so he starts painting this picture of this group of people within and without the United States government that are kind of pulling strings on a lot of different things and controlling a lot of different things. In a similar vein, there's a group in California, in an area called the Cabazon Reservation, which is a small, small Native reservation with, I think there was like 14 or 15 people living on the reservation. It's very small. this this guy shows up in this reservation and is like, hey, I can help make you rich if you guys started selling cigarettes here.
To the 14 people?
Yeah. And so...
All right, guys. Hey, gather around. I know. Come on over. Okay. Huddle up. I can make each and every one of you the richest person in town.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. So he builds a cigarette shop in town and they start selling cigarettes.
To who?
I don't know if this is like close to another town that people are coming through. I really don't know.
I mean, okay.
And so they do that. And then he's like, hey, it'd be really cool if this cigarette shop was also a casino, right? And so they expand it to a casino.
I've got enough people to run it
and
in the town.
They start running this casino.
And you got one person over at the cigarette shop. Then you've got, I don't know, a roulette, blackjack, you know, front desk. Obviously, you got to have a hotel attached to it, too. Or is it just casino?
It's just a casino. This is a cigarette shop and casino.
Yeah, I mean, cigarettes you've got and casino. Your dice.
Yeah.
What's craps?
Yep.
Sorry to say that word.
Yeah, it's like a gas station casino is what I want you to picture. I don't want you to picture Las Vegas. Okay. I want you to picture a gas station casino.
Gas station casinos make me really sad.
Yeah, I think that's the idea.
It makes me feel really
I think that's part of their marketing.
Sad inside.
Yeah. So that's what
that's part of their marketing. Look how sad this is. Don't you want to go to the Venetian instead?
Want to do this? Yeah.
It's actually
set up by the Venetian.
That does sound pretty good. Dude, the Venetian, here's what got me to go to the Venetian, right? I go to a gas station one time. I was like, there's a casino here? Why do I need to go to the Venetian? And then I saw someone get murdered at that gas station. And the guy doing the murdering was wearing a Venetian t-shirt. Yeah. And I was like, you know where this probably doesn't happen?
Is the Venetian.
The Venetian.
Yeah. And he turned to you.
We are sponsored by the Venetian.
Go to tillin.com/Venetian.
Go to taxidermymyuncle.com/Venetian for a special discounted rate on your next Las Vegas trip.
One of their SEO engineers is going to see that backlink show up on their site and be like, what the heck?
Can people see the backlinks?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. I'm killing it today. I'm killing in the name of Tide Pods. What? That's how I was helping them get their name out there. This is a serial killer. Killed 13 people. Speaking of 13, that's the number of loads you could do with this one thing of Tide Pods.
Jeez. Okay. So this casino is operating.
Right.
And the security guard for the casino is...
That's what I'm saying. They've got it. Okay.
The security guard for the casino, one of the locals, one of the natives in the tribe.
One of the 12.
And so Peter is thinking, this casino's not making any money. Like, I see people rolling dice and I see a lot of money flowing through,
right,
but we're not making any money. So he confronts the guy about it.
Just cast your nets on the other side.
And long story short, he confronts the guy about it. Doesn't go over well. And so he contacts someone on the outside to kind of start to pursue a legal action against him.
Okay.
A legal action, not an illegal action. To pursue legal action against
him. Hold on, I think I got lost. So the security guard...
The security guard is watching
realizes
this.
What's happening?
The security guard realizes a lot of money's flowing through this casino, but we're not getting paid. None of us are getting paid.
Got it. Okay.
And so he's like, I think this guy's skimming money off the top from all of us that we're supposed to be making
in
this
situation.
Because this is a casino. It's not like this guy came in, started the casino, and was like, you guys want jobs? It was like, we're starting a casino together, and they're all owners together. And so the tribe's supposed to be, everybody's supposed to be making a lot of money off this. And they're not.
And they're not.
The casino's making a lot of money. They're not making money.
We should.
And so he calls a lawyer, and the lawyer's like, well, if you can find evidence that he is skimming money off the top, like, we need actual evidence. And so, like, if you can find evidence, then we've got a case. And so he's like, I'll find
you. You gotta find his private diary. Oh, today I skimmed this much money off the top of this casino.
Today I stole a bunch of money. So similar, he broke into his office in the middle of the night.
Sure.
And he started looking through his documents to see if he could find evidence that he was skimming. He found something a lot better. What he found was he found paperwork and evidence of... there's no easy way to say this. This guy was manufacturing weapons that the United States government was paying for and shipping to the Contra in this reservation because it was sovereign land. And so there was no legislation or anything that had to happen because this was technically not the United States land that it was happening on. They could just bring this in here and manufacture it. And so he found blueprints for weapons. He found trade deals. He found all the receipts.
Is there like a manufacturing plant then on the reservation?
I don't know where the manufacturing...
Inside the casino?
I don't know where the manufacturing is happening. Yeah, it's like a basement in the casino. I really don't know. It's just a
guy in his shed putting little parts. He's like, okay, here's the trigger. Oh, safety's working.
Is gun.
You say is gun? Yeah. Is gun. Ah, yes. This is gun. He doesn't know a word of English.
Yeah, and so they were shipping weapons off to the Contras. He even found documentation outlining a meeting between that same guy who sold the Insula, the Promise software to all those different countries, Ronald Reagan, and Contra generals, and the guy who set up this casino in the desert here in California to showcase
a bunch of meetings in the desert?
Yeah, to showcase a bunch of these guns and do like firing practice with these guns in the desert in California and like paperwork for it. And so this guy called his lawyer and was like, hey, I think I found something.
Okay.
And so he was like, cool, bring the paperwork up. He's in Los Angeles. He's like, bring the paperwork out to Los Angeles. We'll have a meeting and we'll talk through it. And so he tells his friends, he says, hey, we're going to drive up to Los Angeles. And so he's like, let's do that in the morning. Next morning, his friends show up to his house and they find him and three of his friends dead in the backyard. and the paperwork's gone.
Okay.
And the casino is doing better than ever. No, yeah. So that was, and, Ricardo Shudo was there for all of this. I don't know what his role was in all of this.
Okay.
Like he was running the computers for the casino or something. I don't
know. So now we've got five people murdered so far. Yeah. Four people murdered.
Yeah. Four people murdered. and so long story short, this is a big story, but long story short, Ricardo Shudo starts telling stories of all these experiences he's had following a couple individuals around working for the U.S. government doing very shady killed things.
25% of that reservation.
They did. Yeah. Yeah. doing very shady things. And so Danny starts following this trail and thinking, I've found something insane. Like I thought I was writing a column on a tech lawsuit, but this is like something that can potentially rewrite American history. And so he gets insane about this and becomes like full bore conspiracy theorist. Yeah. And he's working on this article for this, and he starts to begin to realize that this is bigger than just an article.
This is a book.
Yeah. And so he starts working on a full book about this, and he starts to call it the Octopus.
Why?
Because he says there are eight people, that he pins down as being connected to this organization that's kind of calling these shots.
Hey, May 18th, we're doing another Tillin' Live at Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri. I would really love to see you there. Tickets are available right now at the description of wherever you're listening or watching. There's a ticket link. Your ticket gets you entry to the live show, but it also gets you access to the park for the entire day. So you can come in that morning, enjoy the theme park all day, and then that night, we're shutting down the park with our show. So we can't wait to hang out with you. Please get those fast. We'll see you May 18th in Branson, Missouri.
Danny starts digging into this, and he starts meeting a lot, like this wild cast of characters.
Sure.
Of people that are connected to this in all sorts of different different ways. And these people are like government contractors, basically, that are doing different things similar to what Rakan Shudo did, where it's like they got hired to put a backdoor in a software or to kill a bunch of people or something like that, you know? Rakan Shudo, coincidentally, he had a best friend that he did all of these things with early in his career.
Uh-huh.
And his best friend was kind of the money guy. He ran all the money for their operation. He lived in San Francisco, and he was killed. His offshore bank account was emptied that allegedly had $150 million in it from a drug trade that he was a part of.
Sure.
So, yeah. So, there's...
The Ratatouille guy looked pretty reliable.
That's the thing. Here's the thing about Rakan Shudo. Rakan Shudo tells a lot of stories that are very fantastic.
He doesn't look credible.
Yeah, he does not look credible. And the stories seem very incredible. but... A lot of them have been corroborated by either another source or by documentation that has been recovered.
Okay.
And so it's Rakan Shudo as a character is very interesting. But Rakan Shudo does end up going to jail. You saw that picture. He went to prison he was working with Danny, mm-hmm. Trying to help him find all this information.
Sure.
And so he was connected to a few different people in the Department of Justice and was allegedly like leaking this information. Well, he found something, he says, that they did not want to get out. And then
they would have killed him.
And they threatened him. And they said, don't release this. And he was like, well, and so he started going on this trip. And while he was on this trip, a DEA official pulls him over and arrests him. And he goes to prison for 28 years for producing methamphetamines.
I mean, put his picture back up.
Which one?
The first one.
Young?
I don't want to, you know, be that guy. But if you were like, this guy does meth, I would go, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's believable. Here's the thing though. Like
some of the stuff is corroborated.
A lot of his story is corroborated. And here's another interesting thing.
I guess that's one way to do it. If you're going to do some conspiracy crimes, use some people who don't seem credible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when they're like, this is what happened.
Yeah,
you're like, buddy.
No, we're actually putting him in prison right now for drug stuff.
Yeah.
For drugging.
and so bond was set as $150 million. So
yeah, good news. His friend that has $150 million just died. It's crazy.
Good news.
I can't believe that happened. What a coincidence.
You could either pay for a Super Bowl ad or you can pay me to kill someone. You see what I'm saying? Like the word would get out there. You're telling me if there was a serial killer who killed 31 people and we put Baskin Robbins' name on it, that's not good for their brand?
All publicity.
All 31
publicity.
Flavors.
Oh no.
You name each murder after one of the Rocky Road, obviously no. on the back road of a, you know what I'm saying? Swirl with somebody you drowned in a toilet. You get what I'm saying, right?
The scene was covered in Neapolitan ice cream.
Vanilla is just shot in the chest.
That's a very vanilla murder.
That's a very vanilla murder.
There's no honestly, spice to this murder.
Marketing geniuses over here.
No, so Rakan Shudo, here's the thing about Rakan Shudo, though, that we haven't talked about yet.
Tim's like, I'm just going to power through.
Here's the thing we haven't talked about. Rakan Shudo's dad.
Yeah.
He had government ties, and he was a very wealthy individual.
Okay.
Who allegedly was a part of all of this.
Okay.
Rakan Shudo's dad had like disowned Michael and been like, this kid is a psychopath.
Sure.
Which, I mean, if your son's saying those things about you, whether it's true or not, you probably need to disown him. So like, I don't know which way that, whether that helps or hurts his case. The story kind of hits a climax where Danny meets an informant who is going to kind of blow the doors open on this whole case and give him enough evidence where he can actually like take this public and like he's got his smoking gun essentially.
Right.
And so he's supposed to meet him in Virginia. And the kind of week leading up to this event, he meets with his brother at his brother's son's 3-year-old birthday. So his nephew's 3-year-old birthday.
Yeah, that was an easier way to say it. Yeah, that's okay.
And so he meets up with his son, his brother, and then after the party, he sticks around really late. Sure. And that party, a 3-year-old birthday party, went real late.
Rager, dude.
This is a crazy party. So they stayed up late talking, and he kind of was outlining the whole storyline to him. His brother is a doctor.
Okay.
Like a human doctor.
Yeah.
And so is his dad. His dad's a doctor too, actually. And so he's kind of talking him through this whole storyline of everything he's finding. And his brother, hearing all this, is like, it does seem like you've got something here. Yeah. And he tells him, he says, hey, by the way, if there's an accident, it wasn't an accident. He says, I've been getting a lot of phone calls lately of death threats.
Okay.
And so he's like,
what year is this now?
This is the year of his murder. This is weeks before his murder.
Okay. Okay.
Death? I don't know. Murder. And so he says, I'm going up to West Virginia. I'm going to get my smoking gun. I've got my last kind of informant. This is the last meeting I've got. He's been traveling all over the country, right, meeting these informants and interviewing them and stuff like that. This is his last one in West Virginia. And so he drives up to West Virginia. He was actually told by his contact that set this meeting up, was like, hey, don't go alone. And so he asked a friend to go with him, but his friend was like, I don't know.
I was like, okay, because I mean, imagine you have to, here's how you have to ask, right? You got to be like, hey, I'm going to a meeting. Anything that someone would go, I don't want to go alone. I'd be like, well, I don't want you to either, but I don't want to go.
But I don't want to be a part of it either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he can't get anyone to go with him. So he goes alone. And so he goes up. He goes up to West Virginia, and leading up the night of,
do you think if he had someone with him, he wouldn't be murdered?
No, I think they'd both be murdered.
Oh, that's a bummer.
And so, through the police had interviewed a bunch of witnesses in the area, and we were able to kind of reconstruct the story of what happened. He shows up in town, checks into his hotel, goes to the hotel bar, sits in the hotel bar for a few hours, goes to a local Pizza Hut. It's in a local Pizza Hut.
For a few hours. I mean,
it's 91. Hours. It's 91.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Was the best
pizza
place.
It was freaking bomb in the 90s, dude.
Pizza
Sorry.
Hut was the best place.
I don't know if I can say that on the podcast. I don't know if they're listening to us.
Sits in Pizza Hut for a few hours, and the Pizza Hut employees said it looked like he was waiting for someone that never showed. He goes back.
Stood up at Pizza Hut?
Yeah. He goes back to his hotel, hangs out in the hotel bar for a little bit, and then at 10 p.m., he turns in, goes back up to his room. Here's an interesting thing. He goes to his room, the room next to him, the lady who was staying in that room had told police that she saw him go back to his room that night. And she described a guy that looked nothing like Danny Casolaro. He had, Danny had just
golden locks,
super
hair.
Funny hair, like so full, freaking hilarious hair. Like, look how funny that hair is. It's so full. It's okay. So not bald.
And the guy that she described,
he had like thin brown hair.
Just so serious, just unfunny hair.
Not hilarious hair.
You should do the hair plug thing, and you should, you know, do like a skin rejuvenation thing or something.
That's so Botox, funny, maybe. Dude. That's really funny also. It's really funny to like try to look better.
Yeah, I think you should try.
It's so, okay. So, and this guy was shorter and thinner than Danny that she described.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a guy that does not fit his description at all.
Right, 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 right.
And she said that she saw him key in and like had a key, keyed in, went in. And she just assumed that that was the guy staying there.
Well, how does he get a key? Okay.
So that's an interesting detail. A couple other interesting details from that night.
It's the 90s. Are they using key cards at that point?
I don't know yet. I don't know. I did that just kind of naturally.
Are they?
It's kind of like, have you seen those videos where it's like the Gen Z mom and the Gen Z daughter? And it's like, hang up the phone. Yeah, talk on the phone. Hang up the phone. FaceTime. And they're like, I don't know what FaceTime is. This is FaceTime.
Right, it's the same thing.
I just want some FaceTime with you. Jeez. So a couple other interesting things about that night. Danny, their family was a devout Catholics. They always were their whole life. Something that he said in that note is he said, I know God will let me in. They don't believe that.
They don't believe that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No one in the family believed that. And they're like, Danny doesn't believe that either. And so they're like, that's a little, that was always very fishy that was included in that note. Because we don't think he would say that.
Right.
Second, Danny is basically you. He was terrified of blood. And the idea of going out the way he went out is not a way he would have done it.
Right.
Especially like 12 times. His family's like, that's very not likely that he could go through with that.
Right.
And so there's a lot of fishiness around that. And then obviously he's been digging into some stuff that seems like he's uncovering some stuff, and he's intentionally trying to highlight this. He had been getting death threats. He had been told not to meet this guy alone.
Right.
Was stood up at the meeting, and then a guy was seen entering his room that was not him.
Well, yeah, it's like, hey, meet me at this place away from your hotel, and then I can get into your hotel.
And then I'll meet you in the hotel room. So what is most likely the story here is the Reconosciuto storyline that is painted of this being this big mastermind group that's in control of everything. I don't know if that's the truth.
Okay.
I think it's, he found something in here.
A couple rogue actors
who were
doing some sketchy things.
Yeah. In this big story that was legitimate.
Right.
Like, that was real. This whole thing being connected, I don't know if that's real.
Sure.
What's very interesting is in that storyline, there's a guy, something Booth, who was allegedly John Wilkes Booth worked for the CIA. who another reporter after Danny's death, she got obsessed with the story and started following the story to try to figure out what happened to Danny. And so she met with this guy who was one of the guys that Danny had spoken with, was someone who Michael Reconosciuto had lived with for 2 years. Michael hated the guy. And was like, I don't recommend anybody live with that guy ever.
Yeah.
He's like, bad guy. this guy allegedly worked for the government and was kind of like their muscle. Who did stuff that... And there's a interview with him on another court case where he was called as a witness. And they're asking him all these questions about his relationship with the United States government. And in it, he's very irritated. And he says, they told me this would never happen. They told me what I'm doing right now, I would never have to do. And he says, it's a breach of contract that I'm even here right now talking to you. And very...
So you know why I pulled you over tonight? This is a breach of contract. They told me I'd never have to talk to you. This is my Second Amendment right.
To drive as fast as I want anywhere I want to go.
I plead the second.
Sir, what?
Bang, bang, bang.
There's no gun. I'm just playing a game.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just playing a game.
Dude, what if... What if you get pulled over and you pull out a game on your phone that is just freaking like, and you just let it run through your car speakers.
You're dead for sure. If that cop with the acorn thing, like, you are dead for sure in that scenario.
Yikes.
Anyways, this guy meets what?
Well, there's just sirens outside, right as we were joking. I like that your impulse was to put your hands up, and mine was to go.
I'm gonna get you.
I'm gonna get you.
No, so
you start doing that to police officers you see around town. Just go, I'm gonna get you. See you around town, go.
See how that goes for you.
See how it goes.
I bet it goes really well. I bet they love it. I bet they think it's hilarious.
They think it's super funny. Like, I'll tell you what they don't think is funny at all.
Anything.
So I went to Applebee's one night. This was like this was back when I ate Applebee's. This is back when I looked like I ate at Applebee's. You know what I'm talking about? This is back when I had the appearance of an Applebee's goer. Back when I had. We're a group of us are walking in Applebee's. There's a police officer group also that's walking in. I noticed that one of them had their headlight out. And I said, hey, I'm going to let you out for the warning tonight, but your headlight's out. They don't like that joke. And I was like, that's
really funny, man.
Sorry, you should chuckle. I don't know if you heard. Hilarious. Did you hear me? Because your
should
headlight's
I say
out.
It again?
I'm going to let you off with a warning. You get it? Because you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't extend that
you
kindness.
You get it because you're not nice to me.
You get that?
Yeah. He arrested you.
You got tased.
He arrested you on suspicion. Suspicion of what? Being suspicious.
Okay.
So, what was I talking? Oh, this Booth guy. So Booth gets interviewed by that new reporter. And Booth, in this interview, tells her, hey, you should be careful what you're looking at. This group is a little bit more powerful than you think they are.
Right.
And he says, let me show you something. And so he shows her a clip of the Zapruder tape. You know what that is?
No.
That's the JFK tape. They call it the Zapruder tape.
Oh.
Because I think that's the name of the guy who filmed it.
The Zapruder tape?
Zapruder.
Okay.
It's a tough thing.
I hate that you refer to it by its name.
So the JFK tape. Sure. And in the tape that he shows her, the driver turns around and shoots JFK. And she says, that's not real. And she says, that's doctored. You doctored that tape. And he says, no, the tape you've seen has been doctored. Let me show you the tape you've seen. And he shows her the tape everybody else has seen. And he says, that's the one you've seen, right? And she says, yeah. And he says, hold on, let me rewind it. Watch it again. Pay attention to the tree. And in the tape that she saw, the tree, right when they drove by, was cut off. So the trunk wasn't there. So like they could edit it and take out the driver and replace him with a new driver. And he's like, that's the doctored tape, the one that you've seen. And she walks away from that a little confused. And over time, she began to realize that tape, that the tape with the tree missing, was also a doctor tape. It was not the original tape. What he was doing was trying to give me something that I would go out and talk about that would discredit me. And so then everything I said is now discredited. And so she says, something I had was correct.
Yes.
And they were trying to throw something in there that would muddy the waters and make it hard to believe anything I said.
Which is what I said earlier, where I said, if you want to pull off a conspiracy, then you've got to get people who are non-credible.
Yeah. And so now...
Dude, we should be corrupt, bro. We'd be so good at this.
So now, the theory is that even Reconosciuto, a lot of these...
Well, she didn't take that bait.
She didn't take the bait. No, no.
Yeah.
She thinks, and some other reporters that have followed her, think that there is a web that was spun by guys like Booth, Reconosciuto, some of the other people that were involved in this whole scheme to create this giant, fantastic tale to cover up something within that was legitimate and actually okay. happening.
Yeah.
What it was that was legitimate, we don't know. But whatever it was, looks like it was enough for Danny to get killed over it. And those people at that reservation and Reconosciuto's friend. Whether it was attached to government, we don't know for sure. It could have been like a mafia situation that was like pretending they were the government.
Sure.
It could have been the government. The Inslaw thing happened. We know for a fact that that happened
right.
because they lost that court case. Was that connected to all this stuff that ended up in Danny's death? We don't know. That could have been just like coincidence that was what led him down that road.
Okay.
Reconosciuto might not have been attached to that at all. And they might have made it up to say Reconosciuto put that back door in to create that connection to that. But it's this massive, messy conspiracy of the octopus. But something in there is real. Something inside that is real. And Danny found it. what's fun is... I don't know if you've heard of the restaurant Chuck E. Cheese's.
All right.
No, Christian Hansen, which I said that name like you should know it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but you shouldn't.
Yeah, but Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen, you should know.
Yeah.
No, Christian Hansen is a reporter, was a reporter.
I call him Christ. You ever go by Christ for short?
Have we mentioned that?
No.
Okay. It's Christian.
Mentioned what?
Shut up.
I just thought of it.
Okay, whatever, man. Christian Hansen was a reporter, is still a reporter, who got interested in this in 2013 and started really diving into the story.
Sure.
Got obsessed with it, just like Danny, and has committed his life to trying to figure this out.
So he'll be done soon.
10-ish years, maybe. Well, he and one of his friends just produced a documentary series that's now on Netflix. It's a 4-part series. Very good. Worth a watch. Goes much more into detail than I just did because oh, this cool. is much less.
It's called The Gilmore Girls.
There's a hidden meaning behind The Gilmore Girls and you're not going to believe it. Mm-hmm. Once you pay close attention, like the first time you're watching it, you're not going to catch it. But once you know, you can't see it the same.
Can't unsee it.
You can't unsee it. No, but this documentary goes into more detail on all this, names all the people that Danny thinks that are in the octopus. What's very interesting is Christian put in a bunch of Freedom of Information Acts to get this stuff revealed. Well, they were getting denied. A lot of them got denied and they wouldn't let him actually see them.
That doesn't seem like freedom.
And so
freedom of some information act, I guess.
Freedom of the information we're okay with you having act.
A foisia.
And so he, in 2013 applied for a FOIA request for the documents from the crime scene of, Danny's death. And he was denied in 2013. And it's just kind of been through this cycle ever since then. A couple years ago, while producing this film, he was able to get in touch with the local police department and they were like, hey, we see that they've been bugging this and this is kind of stupid.
And they're like, we've got them here on the desk. These ones?
That's exactly what happened.
A framed picture of the body.
Yeah. And it says, this guy was killed by the government.
This guy died.
This guy. Brought to you by Applebee's.
Hey, you want to see our wall of dead guys?
It's like
this one definitely boosted shareholder value.
It's like the B-Dubs Blazing Challenge wall. It's just murders that B-Dubs committed.
See that one right there? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Oh my gosh.
It's a killer marketing strategy.
So they were able to get the FOIA from them and they got to actually open up that.
Killerguy.com. Is that taken?
That's one that you're on a list for buying for sure.
Killerguy.com. Go to this website, choose a guy. Choose a guy. It's like Tinder, but for murder. No. 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 Yeah.
This guy deserves it. Oh my gosh. This is okay, so
what we got like 2 hours now.
We gotta get out of here. So they get the request, they open up the documents. It's worth watching them open up the documents. Here's the thing though. I watched an interview with the producers of the movie, the Christian and his filmmaker that filmed it all. And they said, we had been working on the edit for months to finish this. We sent it off to Netflix. Literally right after we sent it off to Netflix, we get a call with another FOIA that went through. And so he said, hopefully we're going to make an update soon with what we find from that FOIA request.
Okay.
Rakanashudo also was like, whenever the film comes out, let me know and I'll tell you everything else I know.
Okay.
Because he's like, because there's some stuff that can't
call
be in
me.
The film.
I'll make some more stuff up. You guys are putting in a documentary.
Yeah, I'll tell you some other stuff.
You're going to love the stories I tell.
You're going to love everything I tell you. So allegedly they're going to have this new FOIA request that comes through, and then everything else that Michael decides to tell them once the film comes out. So maybe they're going to make an update soon. But Christian hasn't been murdered yet. Probably will be soon. Danny probably was murdered. It's what it looks like. A bunch of other people got murdered. What it was in this case, who knows? But something, for sure.
Something happened,
for sure. But it was something. This is definitely something. That's all we can say for sure.
Oh. Yeah, why don't we hook that at the beginning as a little teaser?
This was definitely
something to, you know, something to grip their attention. Yeah, give them the whole listen to the whole episode.
That's a good idea.
This is definitely something.
Brought to you by Applebee's. All right. We can
Hold on. We can't yet, because we gotta promote something. We gotta promote our live show on May 18th. When does this come out?
Yeah, this one. Hold on, let me pull up Infinity.
Bang! 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 If you're finding this, I'm sorry. I'll be at Silver Dollar City on May 18th for Tillin' Live. Tickets are available. Sorry that I'm moving around like a weird dead guy. All right, fiddle off. Hey, thanks for making it to the end of this episode. If you like episodes about dead guys, you would love our episode we did about Cocaine Bear.
Yeah.
It's the straight up the movie, pretty exaggerated, but the story of how the cocaine ended up in the presence of a bear was super fascinating. And we did a whole episode about it. It is linked in the description of this, whether you're watching or listening or, you know, somewhere to click here. Thank you so much for supporting our show and being here for episodes. We'll see you again next week for Things I Learned Last Night. Things I Learned Last Night.
Things I Learned Last Night.
Things I Learned Last Night.